don't have a job. Don't pay your bill. Won't buy you a home, Beverly Hills. Won't fix your life in five easy steps. Ain't the law of the land or the government. But it's all you need, and love will hold us together, make us a shelter to weather the storm. And now be my brother's keeper, so the whole world will know that we're not alone. It's waiting for you, knocking at your door.
The morning, everybody, and Haven Online Church. We're glad that you're joining us with us today. Hey, what a great message that love will hold us together and we can be our brother's keeper. Boy, is that an important message for our times today. And so we just want to open today with prayer on this Pentecost Sunday, which has been known as the birthday of the church. And we just pray for God to do a new life in the midst of our church. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you today. We give you thanks and praise and glory and honor. From the day that we celebrate when your Holy Spirit fell upon your disciples and those gathered there and forever changed the way your church was done. It didn't leave us as being hiding away, but left us as the visible entity of Christ in the world. And Lord, we know right now in our world that more than ever, your church needs to be seen. The body of Christ needs to be seen. And so many people just need you during this time. So as we worship today, and God, I thank you for a little bit different worship that we can go ahead and worship with a few people here up on stage today, and just to bring your word and your song, and God, just minister to our hearts and to our minds and heal your land. As we continue to humble ourselves, God, may we humble ourselves and may you heal our land. For that, we give you praise in Christ's mighty name. Amen. All right, although we don't have our full worship team yet, we are social distance worship up here, and we are ready to worship the Lord. And so Wayne and Jill are here, and we're just going to sing. We just want you to just worship the Lord. And I'm excited because it's been 12 weeks since I know Michelle sang that 1 week, but I didn't get to sing along with her. So I'm just touched by having that opportunity today to sing with some of our worship team. So let's, if you're home, stand, get the kids up, wake them up, hit them, elbow them. If your pets are asleep, nudge them, get them up, make them sit, and praise the Lord. Because if we don't, the rocks will cry out. Let's worship Him.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living Lord. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living Lord. Hallelujah, praise the One who sets me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living Lord.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on you.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. 'Cause Jesus, yours is the victory. On me, you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah! Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah! Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
You know this one, it's all just worshiping.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my dream till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you. When you called my name, to your glorious day, you called my name, and I ran out of that grace, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved soul. Now your freedom is all that I know.
The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. When you called my name, into your glorious day, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
I needed rescue, my sin was heavy. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, but you called me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, that grace. Out of the darkness into your glorious day, you called my name.
Amen. Us all together sometime here soon in the future. Couple things that we want to touch on. We want to do our prayer request at this time, and so let's lift some of these up. Katie Jones has asked for continued prayers for her uncle, Lewis McCleary, who is losing his battle with cancer, and pray for families and loved ones who are dealing with those end-of-life issues and other kinds of things. Prayers for Tom and Bobby Brickner and their family, his father and Jenna and them. Elaine Brickner, Tom's mother, passed away this morning, and she was a petite lady, but she was a big fighter with all this. So we asked for God to be with them definitely during this time. For Leah Hildebrand, her 39-year-old son passed away this week, and so we want to go ahead and continue to lift her and the Hildebrand family up. And obviously, we want to continue to pray for COVID-19. We will lift that up in a bit. But we also want to lift up the situation with George Floyd. We want to lift up anything around that, which there's a lot going on. We want to pray for the police officers and first responders everywhere who are dealing with lots of things, and by wearing a uniform or lumped in with some others. We are blessed to have some great police officers and also some individuals in our community and in our church, and so we want to lift this. Also lift up business owners. Many of these business owners have taken huge hits anyway with COVID-19, and now many of these that are in some of the areas of where there's protests and riots and other kinds of things are losing everything and never going to recover. So continue to lift up them and also innocent victims, that there's always innocent victims that get caught in all these things. And ultimately, let's pray for the peace of Christ. One of the things that we as Christians need to recognize is no matter what it is, no ism is acceptable in Christ. He says there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. That takes away pretty much every ism, racism, sexism, all those kind of things. And just looking at people from what we view them as rather than what people really are. So be praying. I could tell you I have absolutely no answers. The only one who does is Jesus. And that's what this, I have a shirt that I almost wore today. I'm going to say, y'all need Jesus. And that's really what we do. We all need Jesus, and we need that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as always, over the last 11 weeks, I believe, of this, we are praying our COVID-19 prayer. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today on this day of Pentecost, the day where your Holy Spirit fell upon your disciples, and they all began to speak in other tongues. And Peter gave an incredible message that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Simon Peter, that one who was denying you and cursing you, in just the power of the Holy Spirit and being open to that, changed his life and changed the world forever. And God, we pray for that same Spirit your Holy Spirit to fall. We ask for him to fall upon this whole entire land, upon our churches, upon our cities right now that are broken. With the situation that exists here, I ask for protection on first responders and police officers during this tumultuous time. For those who are on the front lines in the inner cities and with all this, we ask for protection and guidance and clarity in all things. We ask for peace for business owners, and that you'll protect them and their stores, and that you, what seems like impossible, where many have given their entire lives to building something, that it is shattered in a moment. We pray that, God, you will make a way and miraculously bring your peace to these situations. We pray for leaders and anybody else who have any kind of help or decision that helps bring your peace, God. We ask for that and guidance for them. We also, Lord, ask for prayers for Katie Jones's family with Lewis McCleary as he's looking at these last moments of his life here on earth. And so we ask that your presence not be despised, not be and be frustrated by not getting what we pray for and what we want, complete healing so he can continue to live here. But God, that your will be done in his life and the life of others. For Elaine Brickner, who lived a full life, a sweet lady who just has now succumbed to many things. One of those involving COVID, as we've been praying over the last several weeks. God, be with Tom and Bobby and her husband and all of them. Just be with the family during this time of loss. And Lord, we also want to lift up Leah Hildebrand, who lost a 39-year-old son. And I know from having kids in their 20s that they're all your kids. They're always your babies. And so it never seems natural. But God, you understand what she's going through, and we ask for your healing to be with her during this time. For all other things, God, we give you praises. Now we pray in our prayer from Unite 7:14. Where we look at the verse from Psalm 133, which says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It is like precious oil running down the head, running down the beard onto the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes." And in Acts 1:14, it says, "And those with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. And then suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared on them, and they rested on each of them." And in John 17, you say, "I and them and you and me, that they may all become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you've loved me." And so, Heavenly Father, the day of Pentecost is being celebrated around the world. Not like we're used to, but we are thankful for you, for everything that you have done so far and today, and we are asking you for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. A fresh outpouring that will sweep over the entire world. We stand united with millions of Christians from every nation and every race, representing every part of your church. And Lord, we cry out in one voice. For in the name of your Son, Jesus, God, revive your church, heal our land, and empower your church to boldly proclaim your gospel. So, Lord God, your word says that when your church becomes one, the world will know you sent your Son. Lord, as we look around, we can see that your church obviously is not one. As a living mosaic of the world's tribes, tongues, and nation, we unite today in this simple request that in the name of Jesus Christ, you unite your church so that the world will know that you sent your Son. Today, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to fully eradicate COVID-19 from the earth and restore that has been devastated by the pandemic. We thank you, God, for an outpouring of your Spirit in the nations of the world and a special outpouring of your Spirit in our cities and in our country for the divisive division that we have right now. And we pray and believe in the name above all other names, the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. All right. A couple announcements I want to touch on today, if you'll bear with me. A couple things is the text updates that we do have, again, get connected. I can't say that enough. We definitely would love for you to be connected at some level so we have some information that gets out to you. we do that. Continue to look. We will have the next Unite 714 that is available for week 11. We've been in this 12 weeks here, but week 11 overall for our prayer, 7:14 in the morning, 7:14 in the evening. Hopefully you were able to go ahead and go to Unite 714 on Friday morning. They had a number of people. If you missed it, it is on unite714.com, I believe, and you can go ahead and check that out. And it was really a neat kind of way to have different pastors and leaders from around the world, and also some worship teams that sang as well. So we want to continue to have that. And then we have some more positive news. Beginning next week, we are complying with phase one of the plan for Maryland, and we will be partially opening. What that means is we have to be compliant with all the recommendations that the state and the CDC have put together as guidelines for us. And so church is a little different. Many of the things you've received in the survey, as far as we will practice social distancing, the church will look a little bit different. We are limited to 75 people, so a registration, which we also got back from you that said you would like a pre-registration, will go out tomorrow morning. Roughly around 10-ish or so. So that will go out. Fill that out. The first 75 is what we are allowed to have in our sanctuary at that time. And that will be open until Friday morning, from what I understand. So make sure that you get in there and include that and connect. We will social distance. You'll have to wear a mask. We also have some temperature readings at the door. We don't worry. We're not going to take it from your tongue or elsewhere. We have one of those things that you squeeze, and we've got several of those. We got four of those. So we want to make sure that we are compliant. We spend a lot of work on making sure that everything is in a good place, so we could have that for that many people, okay? So if you have any questions, by all means, you can send an email to info@havencc.org. We will be glad to answer. But we also want to make sure that if you're not going to be here, that to make sure if you sign up and you can't make it, to go ahead and notify us as well so that we can fill someone else in. Now, we don't know how many will be here, but we cannot have any more than that right now. But we will continue. Again, if you're feeling ill or if you have any symptoms or anything like that, stay home. We are going to continue to broadcast through online. Again, our Haven Kids Sunday School team will not be open for some time. Kate and her team are doing a great job by getting that information out. Reason why we cannot do that is because you can't social distance kids. It's kind of like herding cats, right? So we want to make sure they are safe. And I know many of us are concerned as we get new information all the time about this horrific disease that has taken the world. We want to go ahead and make sure that has happened. So again, safety is our main issue, as I mentioned before, but a reminder to look for that in your emails. Connect with us, send an email to info@havencc.org, or get connected on your text and email, as that will go out for you tomorrow. Okay? So that's some good news. I miss seeing some people, and so God is making some ways in the midst of all this. Okay? So that, I believe, is our announcements for now. It's been a weird 12 weeks, I got to tell you, and it just seems to get weirder. And guess what? This is year 17. I was running yesterday, and I saw my first cicada. They're coming back. Remember those? If you're under 17, you're like, what is he talking about? Probably if you're 18, you're not quite sure what I'm talking about. But don't worry. By the end of the summer, you will know what a cicada is. They will be everywhere. So just to let you know. And then they'll go back for 17 years. And we'll get back. All right. Today, I do want to tell you, today we are going to continue in our series in James, and I'll mention something to you about that. Here is our theme verse today. Here's what it says. It's from James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives a greeting to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. In other words, how you doing? I'm James. Now, who is James? James is the brother of Jesus. And in that section of scripture I read during the COVID-19 prayer, the 714, Unite 714, Did you notice that it said Mary, Jesus' mother? This is after he ascended into heaven. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and who else was there? His brothers. One of those was who? James. James was not a believer until he came in contact with his risen brother, half-brother, Jesus, after the resurrection, and he became a leader in the early church. So you can see what the Holy Spirit did to James, and we've been spending time with that the last several weeks. He says, greetings, and then he hits us with this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind. Wow, do we have some trials that are going on right now in our world today. And so James is very fitting. I said James is kind of like I mentioned this several weeks, is the Proverbs of the New Testament. It gives us ways that we can live by and work with. And we have gone through several weeks of James. We dealt with these topics with James. In 5 chapters, we've dealt with trials and temptations. If you need to deal with some of that, go back to week 1 of the series. We talked about obeying God's word, listening, and not only listening, but doing, listening and doing in that process. Then we have watching our mouths. Remember that on Mother's Day, watching our mouths? I don't know about you. About an hour after I left here, man, I was in trouble. I had to repent because, man, some people can really agitate me, and I'm a little, it comes from me, it's not them. All right, so we have that, watching our mouths. Then we talked about wisdom from God and how we can have wisdom from God. And then last week we talked about what's God's will for my life. And we talked about not only that main purpose, that main will that we've been looking for, that life-defining purpose, but the life-encompassing purpose, the purpose that is just living and living God in each and every area. And today, I tell you, if you look at James, in the book of James, he picks up in chapter 5, in the first verses, 1 through 12, and he really talks about wealth and about giving. And even before some of the latter events in this week, God just, he and I had a conversation, and he said, Jack, this church is blessed by people who understand what it means to give and who have been incredibly giving to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. Again, hey, many of you in Haven Church have partnered with Yes, and you were able to feed 370-some children and families this last week. You continue to do that stuff. So you're giving not only of your time and your effort. I can tell you, I have seen some people, even in our church, getting some things ready for when we can return, that are giving of their time and their effort. People are giving out their finances. And you guys are incredible. So God and I had a discussion, and he said, I'm glad you're listening, Jack, because no, I need you to go to what you were considering the last week. And that was a faith that heals. And this was before the things of the last several days. And so today we're going to talk about divine healing in many different ways. Now I will tell you, when we come to divine healing, some people have an issue with it. There's a lot of confusion. Some are doubtful in it. And so what I want to do today is I don't want to give you Jack at all. I want to give you James and God, because they're the ones who are bringing it to us. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to spend time talking about what James says about divine healing. I think it's amazing if you look at how James puts together this whole thing about trials and temptations and obeying God's word and listening and doing what God says and watching our mouths and wisdom from God and what's God's will. And he builds that and even giving in there. And then he comes to this ultimate point that the last thing that he says, and he wants to wrap it up. And you'll notice that James kind of ends very abruptly because he's done. James doesn't mince words. He says what he needs. Hi, how you doing? Bam, here you go. This is the problem. This is what we need to work on. And then he says, here you go. And I think it's amazing that he ends with healing, divine healing, that we ultimately need. And so let's just see what he says here. We all know that we need divine healing. That's what we've been praying for since this COVID outbreak. And it's also what we need for our world as we look around us. I started thinking, if all of us as the church really listened to James and applied it to our lives, will we have the situations that we do right now in our world? Will we have people that just hate people because they hate people? Will we have people that could care less about our brothers? We sing, and I'll be my brother's keeper, but do we really believe and mean it? Well, let's see what James says. James says this in chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Look at what he says here. He says, anyone is in trouble. let them pray. I want you to follow along how many times James says pray in this section. Prayer and praying are throughout this section. He then says, if anyone is happy, sing songs of praise. Songs of praise are a type of prayer. The Psalms, people use them as prayers, but they are, as praise songs, but they are where people pray. Is any of you sick? Call the elders of the church. That's not the old people. That's the people who are spiritually mature. To pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, what is this oil thing about? It is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of setting apart. Often when they would have a king, they would set him apart and a prophet would anoint him with oil, saying that God is setting that person apart for service. And so when we pray for someone and we anoint them with oil, oil is a nature of the Holy Spirit upon our lives to go ahead and bring healing. He says, let them pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord, notice prayer again, and the Lord will raise them up. Now when it continues on, he says, and if they have sinned, notice he switches gears. He's talking about sick, talking about people in need, talking about people happy, pray. Oh, and if they sin, whoop, he turns in a different direction, it seems to us. They will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray. There's that word again. And pray for each other so that you may be what? Everybody say that together. You may be healed. When we confess and we pray, then we have healing. When we confess and we pray, then there's healing and there's unity. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. When we look at this, what is it about this heavenly healing that is so controversial, so interesting, so fascinating, so life-encompassing? You see, because when we look at this, I think historically the body of Christ, the church universal, has in some ways gotten some truths right. And then in other areas, and we've held on to just some truth, and in other areas I think we've gone to extremes on either sides of the issue. So I want to give you some examples of the extremes. The one extreme is what is known as the confessionalist. This is people, you name it and claim it. You say it and get it. I said it, I get it. And if I don't get it, it's not God's problem, it's about me. So therefore, people have gone ahead and when they pray for somebody, I've known pastors who have gone into a place, they prayed for somebody to get well. And they don't get well, and they say, well, they just didn't have enough faith. I'm going to tell you that is a lie from the pit of hell. Okay, so if anybody's told you that, I don't care whether they're a Sunday school teacher, your mom, your dad, your greatest pastor, the most wonderful person, it is a lie from the pit of hell. Because guess what? Last time I checked, we are all part of a terminal disease called life. We are all going to die. Now, there's your happy thought for the day. But there's something more to that we're going to see what James does here. So hold on to that. It's not that we just ask for it, and if we don't get it, it's something wrong with us. God is always answering prayer. So we're going to talk about that some more. The other side, the pendulum swings to the other way. Okay, so here we have the confessionalist. Then we have this other kind of pendulum that swings this way, where the other side is that God doesn't do miracles anymore. That was for in this thing called the Bible. That was only for the Bible, and that was only for the book of Acts and those things. So God is done doing miracles. God is done doing that. And they are called dispensationalists. Anybody ever heard of that? The dispensationalists. They want to say that when this came together, when the Bible, came together, that Jesus said, that God said, okay, I'm done doing the miracles. However, if you read what it says here, Jesus told us that you will do these things that I have been doing and greater in my name. So if there has been one miracle in 2,000 years, the great physician has not closed shop. You with me? And so that's one of the things we need to embrace and look at. So I don't believe that Jesus stopped doing miracles. I have seen them in my life. And so we have that time and time again. Now, you're asking the question now, okay, Jack, okay, preacher boy, why in the world, when I pray for somebody, did they die? Why did I pray for something sometime and got it, and another time I prayed for something else and it didn't happen? And I'm going to tell you. Why do some people get well and some people don't? Why do good things happen in some areas and don't in other areas? And I'm going to tell you, I want you to write this down. I don't know. All right? So I don't have a clue. I don't fully have a clue, but I can lean on God's word, and that's what I'm going to do today. I do know one thing that I can take to the bank. God always does the right thing. God always does the right thing, no matter what. What I do understand is that much of what we pray for and the things we do pray for are limited to our own understanding experience in our life and in our world. And I do know that Scripture tells us that God's ways are higher than our ways, thankfully, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And God is much bigger. Anytime I say that, I'm thrust back to when my kids were little and VeggieTales, God is bigger than the boogeyman, okay? God is bigger than so many things. Sometimes the best answer to a prayer is heaven. You know, I mean, a lot of times I know we want people to be healed and whole and want to be with us forever, but sometimes the best answer to prayer is heaven. And some of us get so caught up in not believing God because we don't understand everything about God. So for me to say I don't know, then that tells us, say, well, I don't believe in God then because this happened. And I don't believe in God then because I prayed and He didn't answer it the way I want to, is really what we're saying. God is not a spiritual Santa Claus that brings us what we want. He understands something much greater than what we have. And so what I do know is if I had gotten some of the stuff I prayed for at the time. Like, for instance, I'm going to take you back. Okay, if you're a little bit older, I'm going to take you back. Did you ever pray that God would work out a relationship that you were in, and you're thankful now that God did not work that out the way you wanted it to? Am I right? Right now you have a flashback of how your life would have been with that person, right? So God knows some things that exist. Did you ever pray for a job and you were depressed and down and angry at God that you didn't get it, but then now you're looking at what has happened in the rest part of your life, and you're like, wow, thank you, God, for not working that out the way I wanted to, but working it out what you saw fit. And so a lot of times, hindsight may be 20/20, but we're so busy looking forward all the time, we don't stop and look back in hindsight and see what God has done. So what I want to do is I want to recognize that we got to put faith and trust in Him, in God. And there are three observations from James chapter 5 that I want to share with you, and then we're going to unpack some other things about how faith, the process of faith, let's call it that way. The first thing I can take to the bank of what James says is God heals people. God heals people. I have been a witness to many types of healing from people and praying for people over my life. As I joke, I was raised in a Methodist household. I mean, our family was this warped that we would go on vacation and we would sit on the beach and somebody, another family was with us, and they look and see somebody reading a Christian book, and my aunt's family was down the road at another cottage around the same weeks. And what we did with this family was the Strelster family from Ohio. They were sitting there. Before you knew it, we're not just people sitting on a beach getting a suntan. They're talking about Jesus. And instead of going to play putt-putt golf or go to the boardwalk at the night, no, we're getting together and having a prayer and a praise session in a rental place on somebody's house. I'm not lying about this. I'm not lying at all. And we're having this. And people are praying. We're seeing people ask for healing. We decided, hey, let's not go to a church around here this week. Let's have church on the beach. So we go ahead and have church on the beach, to which my dad broke a chair and fell. It was funny. And then we had baptisms in the ocean. This was my vacation growing up, and I'm not lying. And we did go see Star Wars later, thankfully. But what I'm saying is, this was how it was. And this is what we did. So I got to see things that some people haven't. As being a pastor, I got to see and experience things. That for those who say that Jesus doesn't heal, I can tell you over the years of my life and over the years of ministry, I have seen several things. One of my favorite verse when I started ministry was this. And it's become even more dear to me as I look around the world today. Because I'm going to tell you, church and ministry has and people have changed in the last 25 years. But this verse from Hebrews tells us the powerful statement that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yesterday he healed. Today he wants to heal, and he will heal tomorrow and forever and ever. As otherwise, Revelation lies to us because it says that Jesus is the Lamb of God that bears the scars for the healing of the nations. And in case you haven't turned on your TV or in case you haven't looked at social media, this nation needs some healing. And our world needs some healing right now. And if Jesus stopped healing, we are all going to hell in a handbasket. We need Jesus and we need the healer right now for the nations. I shared this story several times, but when I go to this, I go to this one person. You've heard me talk about her, some of you, many years. Her name was Leila, and she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. I first met her. She was a mutual friend of somebody who, well, she actually was a sister of somebody in church. She, when I first met her, she was angry. I mean angry. Angry about the diagnosis, flippant. She would throw out several curse words, which I found very humorous. She was just bitter and angry. And I was like, if you want to pray for me, go ahead. I don't care. And she was just in this place. And I understood it from a level, looking outside in. Angry, angry, angry. But during that time, it got so that Fridays became our time to get together. And I would stop by the house, and she slowly warmed up to me. I'm like, mold, I guess, I grow on you or something like that. And then eventually I can become cheese. I don't know. But I am pretty cheesy. But so you have this situation, and we formed this relationship. And it got from being angry and bitter to that she was working through the process, and she asked me to pray. She started to ask me things about God. And then she started to come to church as she was going through her treatments. And she one day said to me, I want to be baptized. Said, awesome. So we baptized her in her sister's house. She had a strained relationship with her son, so much so that he bought her a Bible for Christmas one year and said, this is the only thing that can help you. I'm done with you. That relationship reunited and got stronger. And right before her grandniece's wedding, she got told that she was in remission. We celebrated that in amazing ways. I remember when she was going through treatment, we even brought one of those little like rocker chairs in so she could sit in the church so she wouldn't have to sit on those old hard pews, okay? And some of you sat your rear ends on old hard pews for many years, you understand. We know why they're called pews, because they stink, right? You know, I mean, they're horrible to sit on. But she sat there, and so for 3 months, she was just living life and living a newness of life. And then she went back and was having problems again, and she got a diagnosis. And we cheered that she was healed. Thank you, God. And then she died 3 months later. How does that fit in with your theology? That you celebrate the healing of God through people, and then she dies three months later. It's not easy to look if we're looking at it from our perspective. And so I got to go to this verse in 2 Timothy. And I want you to look at this. It says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Let me look at that first part. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. Woo! Hallelujah. I like that one. Do you not like that one? I love that one. Yes, Lord, rescue me. Rescue me. And will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. So before, when I looked at this and I read this, I'd say, which one is it, God? Are you going to rescue me? Or are you going to bring me into your heavenly kingdom? And you know what the answer is? Both. Both are forms of healing. One form of healing is simply this, that God will rescue me from every evil attack. And ultimately, he's going to rescue me and take me out of this broken, hurting world. You see, with Jesus, we are in a win-win situation. And how does it end this? To him be glory forever and ever. Why? Because if he rescues me from the situation, which he can do and does do at times, Awesome. I've got work to do for him here. I got to live out my encompassing purpose that we talked about last week. But if he doesn't rescue me from the sickness, the illness, the tragedy, the evil that's in this world, then I get to go be with him. Win-win. In other ways, so what I got to do is I have to trust God, and trusting in God and leaning not on my own understanding, because when I pray and I don't get what I want in that, when I pray and bad things happen and it's not the answer that I wanted to have, I am leaning on my own understanding. But when I trust in him and lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him, good, bad, indifferent, that's faith at work. And that's a working faith. And I trust him in that area. That's number one. Number two that we learn, and so James continues and says, we sinned and forgiven too, and we need to confess our sins. Here's what he says. God is also concerned about my soul. My soul. You know, in early Christian music, in the hymn writers, in his early hymn writers, there was a lot of words about Jesus saving my soul. And now the songs are great. They're great worship songs. But a lot of them are more about, like, God, what you do for me, rather than just you saved my soul. You lifted me out of the miry bog, set my feet upon a rock, and made my footsteps firm. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. These are some of the songs that were there. And so many of us are concerned about our bodies. I am. I am always concerned about my body. Do you think I want to eat the stuff I do every day? I want cheesesteaks. I want pizza. I want chocolate marshmallow ice cream. And I want it with that magic shell stuff on it. And I want to eat it breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yes, that is what I want. I like things that are horrible for me. And I love them, love them, love them. But because I am concerned about my body, I exercise even if I don't feel like it. I take supplements and I eat things called protein waffles. You know what? I tell myself they're good. They're not bad, but they ain't waffles. You got it? I eat egg whites. I love the yolks. I love to, like, my kids call them dippy eggs. Jill and I used to kill the egg and let it go through. I love sopping up. I love that. I'm making you hungry right now. You're not listening to me. You're making bacon. I get it. I eat turkey bacon. It's good. It ain't bacon. You with me? I love all that stuff, but because I'm concerned about my body, and we should be. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I get it. But sometimes we are so focused on the body that we forget the soul. Jesus said in Matthew 10, "Don't," and it's not in your scripture, in your guide, it says, "Don't be afraid of the one who can kill your body. Be afraid of the one who can throw both body and soul into hell." In other words, he said, you're so worried about what could happen here. You're worried about people getting you here. You're worried about this. You're worried about what's going to happen to your body. Don't worry about that as much. Worry about me who can throw all that in for eternity. Not just about the body. And what James is telling us, the greatest healing and the greatest miracle is when somebody repents and their sins are forgiven. Luke 10, 19 says this. Jesus said, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions." Now, I ain't talking about snakes, okay? But this is also a reference to the demonic, the spiritual world, the evil spiritual world. I don't like snakes, don't want them, okay? But it says, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Yay, hallelujah, I love it again. Then he says this, "However," anytime Jesus says however, you better pay attention. "However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven in the book of life." Don't get happy that I've given you this authority. There's a great story, because I'm demented, in the book of Acts called about the seven sons of Sceva. And these guys had seen what the disciples were doing. They were casting out demons. They were healing people in the name of Jesus. And the story goes like this. They went out to this man who was demon-possessed, and they started saying to him, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out." And the demon answered him to the man, "Jesus I know. And Paul, I know, but who are you?" And the scripture says this, "And he gave them such a beating, they went around They left naked and bleeding. That is a butt whooping. When you get your clothes ripped off of you and you're running away naked, that is getting your butt kicked. You know why they couldn't do anything? Because their name was not written in the book of life. They were concerned and enjoyed the power, but they did not enjoy the fact that their souls were saved. The demon said, I know Jesus. Believe me, I know Jesus. And I know Paul because of Jesus. But I don't have a clue who you are. Jesus says, don't get excited that I've given you authority and power. Get excited that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life and that you are going to be in heaven. Praise the Lord for that. Get excited about that. So we have prayer and faith, prayer and faith, prayer and faith. And the third thing is God wants me to grow in my faith. He wants to take me on a faith journey. And this is where we're going to go for the rest of this message. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. One of the sad things in my life is some people are so stuck in our own understanding that they will never believe that God exists. And by not believing that, they're never going to come in contact with him. James 5, 17 through 18. This is not, I don't believe this is in your notes, but here's what it says. James starts to shift gears again. He says, he's talked all this stuff about faith, and now he says, he talks about a righteous, prayer of a righteous is powerful and effective. And then he says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Now, when we look at that, that's not what we think. We look at Elijah and we see all the miracles this guy did. Elisha got a double portion and did double the miracles. But we see all the miracles that Elijah did. When the Jewish people talk about the prophets, they talk about Elijah. He was the most powerful when they went back to him. They looked at Moses with the law and Elijah the prophets. In the Seder meal, they leave a spot empty in case Elijah's walking around and wants to sit down. That's how important this dude is. He was whisked away in a chariot of fire. That's called being on the hot seat, I guess, you know? So he's whisked away. He didn't even die. He was whisked away to heaven in a chariot of fire. And James says Elijah was a human being even as we are. And I've never had a chariot of fire. I've never seen the miracles he has. I'd like to. I want to. And James is saying, yeah, he was a human. He was completely a human being. Nothing special, different than you and me. And James talks about a story. He says, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now, Elijah, his life was in conflict with this King Ahab of Israel. And Elijah was all, King Ahab had this lady named Jezebel. You know, nobody's names a kid Jezebel anymore because of her. And so he had this conflict with his king throughout the whole time. And we have great stories about Elijah against the prophets of Baal because King Ahab and Jezebel brought in these foreign gods and they were celebrating them. And Elijah was proving the greatness of our God. And we have the great story with Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel where they're cutting themselves and they're praying for fire to light it up, for Baal to light it up. Elijah goes ahead and says, hey, fill the trough with water, put water on the sacrifice, I'll put it all. He says, God, bring fire down. Boom, fire consumes even the water in the trough. And then he says, kill all the prophets of Baal and Asherah, okay? And then Jezebel says, I'm going to get you, and he takes off running, okay? That's some things about Elijah. In the middle of this whole story between Elijah and Ahab is a story about rain that exists here. And for us, as we look at this, while James puts it, he says, Elijah prayed, no rain. Elijah prayed again, rain. That sounds like super prophet. Doesn't it seem like that to you? He just, boom. But that's not really how the story went. Actually, the story goes a lot closer to your and my life. And so what I did is I spent some time this week unpacking and looking at this. And I want to share some things from this story from 1 Kings, beginning in chapter 17, about Elijah that we can learn. And what we learn is that there is a faith journey that God is calling us on. It is a faith journey. So let's go ahead and let's look at this progression of faith journey. The first thing that we recognize is from the life of Elijah is this. Faith begins with a word from God. It begins with a word from God. Whenever we get a feeling, an emotion, a call from God, it comes from His word, whether His scripture or whether we just hear it and believing it. And when we look at the word of God, we are talking about the promises of God. And my favorite hymn when I was a kid, I mean, I was like 3 or 4 years old, and we would have hymn sings where people would go, and what song do you want? And I always raised my hand. Number 374, I think it was, Standing on the Promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing. Right, okay? So, standing on the promises of God, what are we talking about? We're talking about that God in His Word has given us promises. Okay? And so, many times when God says something, we need to go ahead and believe that. So you're believing for your healing. Stand on the promises of God. You're believing for financial rescue. Stand on the promises of God, that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He ain't in the cattle business. He's in the people business. You know, that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and you're getting beat up a lot right now. Hey, guess what? Stand on the promises of God constantly. Stand on the promises of God that, hey, that we started today. Be excited that your name is written in the book of life. Get your eyes off the stuff around here and get it on Him. You see, in Romans chapter 10, it tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we don't get to hear the word of God unless we get into the word of God. And that's why we've got to get into the word of God. You know, that's a real church thing. Let's get into the word of God, like we step into it. No, it's we open the book, and the main reason why we open it to get into the word of God is so that the word of God gets into us. And that's what we need more than ever before. Because if faith comes by hearing and by the word of God, then we need that in our lives. 1 Kings 17:1, here we go. Let's look at this. It says, now Elijah the Tishbite, he's a Tishbite because he's from Tishbe, there you go, in Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain for the next few years, except at my, what's that? Word. Except at my word. He got a word from God that was in his heart that he said, boom, we're going to shut this rain thing down because Ahab is not in accordance with me. And so here it is. He had a vision, and often the greatest visions of the people of God come from a vision that hits our head somehow, maybe reading scripture, maybe just being in a place in prayer, maybe being in praise, and what does it do? It touches our heart. And maybe in our life-encompassing purpose, we get that life-defining purpose that we talked about last week in James. The promises of God always come to pass, too. And you say, wait, time out. I've been listening to you now. Nope. I prayed, I begged, and no, it didn't happen. And so what we see here is one day we are going to be before God. We're going to be before God, and we're going to go ahead, and right now we're saying, well, I prayed for that, and that didn't happen. And then in 1 John, it tells us that our eyes will be opened, and we will see the truth. And there's going to be times where we're going to go into the presence of God, humbled, and we're going to go in, and we're going to go, oh, wow, now I get it. Oh, that, I see what you did, God. And that now all things are going to be known. Right? So what we don't see, remember, you've been to a wedding in a while? Not recently, but the last wedding might have had 1 Corinthians. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall know fully, even as we're fully known. That's going to happen when we're there. So all those things we're worried about. I've had several people say, you know, I have this question, I have that question when I get to heaven. When you get to heaven and you by having faith in Jesus Christ and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you walk in that door, all those questions, you're going to be like, boom, got them, I'm good. Let's just worship God. Now I see. Hallelujah. Awesome. There we go. Isaiah 55:11 says, this is God speaking. He says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will do what? Accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose. Could be, let's go back to last week, that life-defining purpose or the life-encompassing purpose in which God sent it. And that's what happened. It's not my purpose, and it won't be empty. Although we may see it as empty, it's accomplishing God's purpose. Number two, The second thing that we see in faith, in this faith journey, and this is probably where many of us are, and it's probably the most complicated of all these steps. Faith continues when you hold on to what he said. When you hold on to what he said. You see, what we see here is faith continues. Faith can continue or it can end. I saw something this week that there was a lead singer of a singing group, a Christian singing group, who came out and said he no longer believes in God. And we've had several of these in the last couple years. And he's asking the same questions we all have. Why does evil happen? These are not new questions. These are questions that have been asked for the time. Why do bad things happen? Why does evil happen? And why do bad things happen to good people? Somebody have a little discussion with Job if you want to find out about that. And so he's throwing the Savior out with the bathwater. Why? Because he stopped holding on. And there's so many of us that we decide not to continue with our faith because life gets difficult, or our prayer didn't get answered, or somebody we love has died and we didn't want them to die. And instead of holding on to that thing that we have, that only hope that we have in our life, we say, I'm done. I'm done. Because we're basing it off of what we see and what we experience, not on who God is. And that, and trusting in that. And so no matter what you're believing for God right now, you've got to hold on. If you're believing right now that God is going to bring restoration to our country, you better hold on, because it doesn't look like it from our experience. Looks like we're one of the most divided times in our history since the Civil War, ever. We're divided on politics, we're divided on race, we're divided on religion, we're divided on education, we're divided on sex and sexuality, we're divided on so many things. You can be weighted down and destroyed by it. What do we do during these times? Oh, do we need more speeches, more politicians? Do we need more news anchors on site? Do we need any of that stuff? No, we just got to hold on. And hold on and say, Jesus, make a way. Hold on to the faith. Hold on to the promises of God that we have time and time and time and time again. Now let's look what happens here. You know, in the scripture, we go to, let me see here, we're in chapter, if we're holding on, let's look at what it says here. Elijah, now we're going to go to chapter 18. Elijah in 1 Kings 18, it didn't rain, so now he's praying for rain. It's been several years, so we jumped up. Been a while, and he's praying for rain now. Now, James said, Elijah prayed, rain stopped. Elijah prayed again, rain went down. It did not really happen that way. It happened that way. That's the beginning and the end. He left out the middle. So Elijah, here he goes. He says, go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. So what Elijah's doing is Elijah's on Mount Carmel. Sea's not super close, but you can see it from there. And Elijah is face down, with his head between his knees, on the ground praying to God, right? And he tells his servant, go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked, and he comes back. He comes, look to the sea. Nope, nothing there. Elijah says, 7 times, go back. So here, I'm going to act this out for you, ready? Nope, nothing there. Go back. Nothing there. Go back. Nothing there. Go back. Nothing there. Go back. Nothing there. Sure? Okay, go back. Nothing there. Sure? Go back. Nothing there. Go back. Okay, 7 times he did that. That's dedicated prayer. 7 times. You see, James tells us, he prayed, it stopped. He prayed, it started. 7 times. You see anything? Go back. And look what, here's what happens. Some of us today need to hear this. You see, he held on. Said, go to the sea. First time. Okay, I'm going to pray some more. Could have done that up to the 3rd time. You're getting up to the 7th time. You're kind of getting tired of this prayer and looking at your rear end between your legs and the ground. But Elijah kept it up. Kept it up and said, go back. Go back. And what I need to tell somebody here today is, You may be holding on barely by some fingers, but go back. Go back and look. Go back and hold on. Continue to do it. Go back, go back, go back, go back, go back. And you need to know that. So you've been praying for your healing, and you go look at that person, you say, they're worse. They're worse. Their health's worse. Go back. You've been praying for your financial benefits and for God to bring a blessing into your life, and you're looking at your bills and you're looking at what's in your income and you're seeing what's going on in the world and your job. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, pray and go back. Go back. You've been trying to have that kid and you can't have it and you don't know what's going on and you've been wanting it. It's a desire of your heart. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. Keep going back. Don't give up on God because he hasn't given up on you. Go back and go back and go back. If you're wanting to see a change in our country and you turn in CNN and you turn on MSNBC and you turn on Fox and you turn on everything and you're just getting bitter and you're broken, keep going back to God in prayer and let him see and do something powerful. Go back. Don't give up on God. It's worse when we look around. We look worse and worse in our world. These last 12 weeks have been horrific. We've seen abuse in households rise. We've seen stress and anxiety rise. We've seen people, epidemic proportions of unemployment. We have seen sickness and loved ones who were healthy who have died all because of this. We see evil in many different forms over the last several days. Don't give up on God. Go back. Go back and pray and pray. Look at what happens the seventh time. The seventh time the servant comes back. Here's Elijah still here. And a cloud as small as a man's hand rising from the sea. Little hand cloud. Hello. I'm a hand cloud. I feel like lamb chop and whatever here, okay? So Elijah says, that's all I need. That's all I need. You see, it was the first day. It wasn't sunny. There was no clouds in the sky because of this. And he says, oh, here's the hand cloud. Little smoke, little wisp, something we might dismiss. Isaiah says, oh, you saw it? Go tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. He probably went to Ahab and was like, what? Notice his persistence. He kept trusting God. So you say, why does God do this? I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But whatever you're going through, hold on and trust God and faith. Galatians 6:9 says this. Let us not become weary, we said this verse a couple weeks ago, of doing good. For a proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not what? Give up. Why does God work that way? I think this brings us to the third thing. Because the whole story of, it's not like James said, Elijah prayed, no rain, Elijah prayed and did that. Seems like that's miracle man. And he was. But he had to have his head between his legs seven times to pray. Okay, that's dedication. It's about the process. And this brings us to the third thing, that faith goes from a small beginning to a grand finale. The problem with us is we love grand finales. We don't like small beginnings. 1 Kings 10, it says, meanwhile, remember that little hand cloud in the back raising up? The sky grew black with the clouds. Notice that it says it grew. It was nice and sunny, no rain, nothing. Then all of a sudden, that one little cloud. The sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, and a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. See, God started off small, and it became big. And Ahab rode. Now look what happens here. And in 1 Kings 18, 45 again through 46, the power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Now, if you probably didn't read that if you aren't thinking this is funny. They wore like these like kind of dress things here, you know, robe. Ahab, he told his servant, tell him to get going. So Ahab hooks up his chariot and his horses. The Spirit of God comes on Elijah. He grabs his little dress thing, tucks it in his belt so he can get running. And Ahab's like, here comes the rain. He hears it. The scripture says he actually heard the rain. That was what was in his heart. He heard the rain before it started. And so he tucks it, and Ahab's like, and all of a sudden, hey, how you doing? He runs by him like that. I find that to be hilarious. But see, we like the story of Ahab, you know, doing his best flash entertainment, right? You know, running as fast as he can. We love that part. We don't like the part of him on his face with his head between his legs praying, go back. We don't like that. Even James didn't like it. James didn't like it as much that he didn't say, hey, he prayed and it happened. We like the grand finales. We hate the small beginnings that we have there. We don't like the small beginnings. But the small beginnings are what bring the supernatural effect of God. Ahab never outruns a chariot if it wasn't for him on his face in prayer and holding on and not giving up on God. A few days before, here he is, praying with his head between his legs, praying for some rain. And now, God does more than he ever asked or thought would happen. In Zechariah 4:10, the prophet tells us this: do not despise the small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Don't hate the small beginnings. The Lord rejoices to see those work. We love the grand finales. God loves the process and the small beginnings. Why? I think God knew that Elijah was closer to him when he was down on his face in prayer than he was when he was out running a chariot. You see, parents and kids, I have kids. And you know, I remember when my kids was born, that was a real high moment. And I know one day that my kids are going to get married and leave. One day. Okay. I love them to death. But I know that we're going to celebrate those weddings and births and them and their lives. And there's days that I remember when they were little, like we had this couch and we called it the hole in it. It was a blue couch and it had this hole in it because basically the springs were broken and we had no money, so we did what we did with it forever. And the kids would get caught in the hole. And I used to like mess with them and joke with them and laugh with them, and I'd push them down in the couch and they'd do that. I don't do that anymore, probably because they're bigger than me and they might kick my rear end. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is I don't just celebrate their birth and then when they leave and build their lives. For me, the joy of being a parent is the process. You know, like there's things that have happened in our relationships that at the moment weren't so wonderful, but now we look back and we laugh and we talk about how that brought us closer together. You see, it's the process of being a parent that brings the joy of me being a parent. It's not just the milestones. It's not the birthdays. It's not the anniversaries. It's not those kind of things. It is the process of me being their dad that makes that the most thing that's important. It may come as a shock to you, but I have not been the most patient person in my life. And I was just thinking back about the process of Haven Church. You know, kind of like we've been through, I'd say, two major phases, and I really feel like God is bringing us into a third phase during this time. Naturally, I think a lot of churches are going through some of this this phase now, like Haven 3.0, that's what you can call it. First phase was interesting. First phase was, I had this thing in my heart, this word from God in my heart, and started with, some of you have heard it, with people in my room, right? In a room in our house. We actually fed breakfast that day, and it wasn't any egg whites because I was not caring about this back then. It was like some good bacon and eggs. We made that for the people that were there. We had that. We had a small offering, you know, and it was there. We later moved to the dance center. It was there. We went to the middle school, and I was thinking about the middle school years. I was talking with Keith and some other people the last couple weeks about the early days of that, about portable church for 4 or 5 years. And I remember when people would say after we moved in here, you know, I really missed the middle school. And my response came, you never came and helped set up, did you? Because if you do that, you've had enough. Trust me, 4 or 5 years, it was enough, right? I mean, and it was a lot. And then around this time of year, remember how humid it was this week? Remember those days where it was 100 degrees out and it was just I think Becky was even talking about how we had the big fan set in the corner to make like a wind tunnel come through, and we were on those big metal chairs that we had to roll out the carts and put up and throw down a snake and make sure. Sometimes we had to put up a screen, and then some weeks we'd say, hey, can we use, we would all be all set to go into the cafeteria, and they would say, oh, we did the floors this week. We find out on Saturday. We're going to put in the cafeteria. The worst was the time that they shoved us. They were doing everything, and they shoved us in a library. I see Ween shaking his head now. Just to let you know, libraries are, they could, I don't know why they always go shh in there, because the books absorb absolutely everything. You could sing. I still remember that was the first time we sang that song, Majesty, and I was like, Majesty, and instead of it radiant, it was like Majesty, Majesty, because the books were like, give me that, give me that, give me that. You know, it was like, what in the world are we doing? How are we ever getting someplace? But I want to tell you, if it wasn't for those small beginnings, there's no Haven Church here now. There's no 375 being helped with a partnership with Yes. Haven, Haven House? What's the name of the house in here? The Monarch. There's no Monarch House here. There is no Haven Haiti that helps people. There are so many ministries. There are not people in our community that are being served. And guess what? When I'm standing there singing Majesty and it's going through the books, I'm not thinking about, woo, thank you, Jesus. This is what I visioned. This is what I've been waiting for. Thank God I left an organized church with stained glass and everything and wonderful, where people said, hi, Reverend Cohen, how are you? And all that kind of good stuff. Thank God I left that to worship in a library, in an old school. It was not the most joyous thing in my life. And picking up the trailer and getting a call on the other times of the year where somebody had the trailer and they couldn't get the lock open because it had frozen shut. Yes. But don't despise those early beginnings and small beginnings, because they bring the greatness of God. And right now, Haven is running past chariots because of the greatness of God from what we had in the small beginnings. So as we go into Haven 3.0, what are the small beginnings we're going to have here, and how is that going to expand all the more to the greatness of God? You see, it is not the end result and the crescendo of where we end up. I'm going to tell you right now, I am not going to ever be part of the crescendo of Haven Church because somebody else is going to take it over, because I'm going to be dead and gone with my Lord. That's my hope and my prayer. Not anytime soon, but you get it, right? It's, the thing is this, the process is the point of why God does this. Why? Because God gives a promise, and you stand on that promise. And that adds to the process. And the process gives the payoff. And the payoff leads us to a new perspective. And that's what James says here as he closes out. He says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's it. What does James end with? We want some more tidbits, don't we? We need some more things to live this life. No, James is saying this. The main thing that you can do in your life is give your heart to Jesus and have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because when you do, the whole book of James, it's not about taming your tongue. It's not about seeking God's will. It's not about listening and doing. It's not about giving. What is it about? It's about giving your life to Jesus. Because it's all about this last thing, eternal life. Eternal life in the presence of God. And that is the message of James. Get ready. Hold on. Don't give up. And recognize that the greatest miracle of all is the miracle of eternal life. I want you to just pray with me right now as we're going to close out with this final message today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the book of James. I thank you for all that you've given us in your brother, your half-brother, James, who he didn't believe in you, he didn't trust in you, and then he saw you as the risen Savior and Lord. He was there on that day of Pentecost, the day that we celebrate today, and on that day of Pentecost, he was filled with your Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised you from the dead. And James, in these five chapters, has given us good things to live by. yeah, there are things that we need to work on, and maybe our world, and definitely our world, would be a lot better than it is right now if we listened and followed through those things. But ultimately, the greatest miracle that we can do is to trust in you, to hold on to the faith that we have and have it grow, because the process is what's there. God, there's some people right now who've been praying for some sort of, dare I say, rain in their life, and it's been a barren wasteland for far too long. They are saying, God, please, please, they've been begging, and they've done it a couple times, and they say, I'm done. God, my prayer for them is that they'll go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. And that they'll give their life to you. God, Elijah never prayed to go run past the chariot. He just prayed for some little glimmer of hope. He believed that you would make it rain. So God, right now, I'm just going to pray with my face down at the ground, and I'm going to say, God, for this church, for the church universal, for the world around us, for a brokenness in our world, for those who put their life on the line every day, first responders who have a love for you and a love for the community around them, let's not lose that in the midst of all this, for senseless deaths, for just confusion and hurt and stress levels and all those other kind of things that are in our lives. God, I pray that we would just go back and pray for that little cloud. Let you do the miracles in your life. Someone in the sound of my voice today may be at a point where they're about ready to let go, or they have let go. If they have, God, I just pray at this moment that you'll heal their hearts, that they'll go back, that they'll go back, that they'll go back, and that you'll make yourself real to them. And that they may not understand why things happen, but they'll be willing to put their trust, faith, and hope in you. God, I ask for forgiveness in those times where I despise small beginnings, because those beginnings have had me run today. Forgive me for where I fail you. I'm thankful that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want somebody in the sound of my voice to just say, all right, God, I'm on the last fingernail holding on. And I need you now. I need you now. As I'm drowning in my life and everything that's around me, and I see no hope, I need. And I'm going to stand on the promises that you give me in your word. For these and all things, God, let them know that when they receive you, open up their life and say, Jesus, I need a Savior, and you're it. That heaven throws a party. There's no social distancing in heaven. We're going to be there to say, worthy is the Lamb. Praise you, Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that our yesterday looks a lot better than today does, and we're confused about tomorrow and forever. But we're going to stand on your promises and trust in you. We're going to join together and be your church. And God, our prayers now, face down, are going to have us run a race that you have marked out for us. In your name we pray.
Oceans rise, my soul will rest in you. your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Sovereign hand to be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never fail and you won't stop now. So I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are
great song. I just wanted to touch on a couple things. I know many of us are just a lot of different emotions considering what's going on for the last 13 weeks plus weeks, and then of course everything that's going on this last week. Continue to pray, continue to see God. We go through many emotions. I know some of them are just sad, distraught, anger, frustration, hurt, fear, lots of different things. Just keep trusting him. Next week, because God and I agreed to move out the one message that was supposed to be today and put this here. Next week, I'll be getting a new series, kind of give us a new start with everything. And it's going to be called Positively New Normal. Okay, Positively New Normal. And next week's message, I just want to give you some of the theories. Next week is going to be called Enough Bad News, Enough Complaints, and then new confidence and new encouragement. That's kind of where we're going in this message. And so I've been really looking at it. And so I hope that you'll, for those of you who are going to go ahead and, again, comply with everything, mask, you got hand sanitizer, temperatures, all those things. We know it's a little different. The layout, it'll look like we just scattered chairs around the place, but we want to go ahead and honor social distancing, safety for everybody else. Restrictions, definitely restrictions with congregational singing, those kind of things. It's what we need to do to make sure everybody is safe, and we will do that. Again, for those of you who recognize we will not have Haven kids, but families, some families can sit together and those kind of things. So we have all kinds of guidelines. We ask you to bear with us during this time and to go ahead. Love to see some of you. Remember, tomorrow morning, that is going to come out. Sign up, pre-register. But most of all, you now. I want to thank you for all your giving and caring. You have an opportunity, again, to give online if you haven't done so already. Once again, thank you for making ministry happen and helping us do the supernatural and run by the small beginnings that we start off with that. First, I think that first offering was probably like $200, $300, and you guys are just awesome and just helping God. And so thank you so much for giving there. Pray for our country, pray for our world, and recognize that there is a God who is great. And all this stuff, He is greater than anything and any concern we have. Have a wonderful week. God bless. Thank you again. Remember to sign up. God bless.